Lecture given by Dan Freeman of the Basin and Harrenhof in Jerusalem.
Indeed. In fact, questions from the Botidin over here, I will often phone up and discuss with the Chavri HaKoilel to send to Dan Freeman to discuss these questions, to be able to help us, to guide us as to how to paskin the various cases that come up. And this is a very great covered indeed to have for Dan Freeman to give his very precious time while he's here to give a share to us on contemporary matters of Choshen Mishpat that have come up in the Beis Din in Harnof, where I've sat in an occasion for the Dinei Torah, and to give us some of his time. With no further ado.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here this morning. Let me speak about a case that was brought up recently in the last couple of months. To promote business, so they make a bonus, a raffle, and then they, for instance, you know, on the products, on coffee and Kellogg's, they put in a coupon that one maybe 10,000, whatever it is, that whoever gets this one, he'll win £1,000. So there was a situation that one person didn't have a coffee to drink. It was 11 o'clock at night. So he comes to his friend and he asks him for a tin of coffee. Oh, give him back another tin. So he says, okay, I have extra coffee. I'll give you a tin. So and then the fellow comes home, and he opens up the coffee, and he finds that he has the coupon. Next day, he saw he had the winning number. So the question was, who does it belong to? Does it belong to the fellow who gave him the coffee at 11 o'clock at night? Or does it the fellow who got it now? So that is a question that came to ask. So when I give a share of Choshen Mishpat, I always like to hear the opinions of the people we're talking with, because many times from the pilpul it comes out some very good ideas and thoughts. So what would you think here about the issue in this situation? A fellow didn't have... Did what do you say?
We had a share
There was no issue. The object is bought and sold, but the question here is about the bonus inside the coupon. Who does it belong to?
Second fellow, if he just said, "I'm taking it, I'll give you back one tomorrow," it's not a loan. He's taken it.
Why did he give him? Maybe he gives him the coffee, not the coupon. That's the question. Let me ask you: if the fellow who gave it to him, he had an interest in selling coffee. You come from my house at 11 o'clock at night. I'm a coffee seller. He wanted to do the fellow a favor and give him a coffee. He wants a cup of coffee. If I would have known that I have something inside there worth £1,000. Would I have given him £1,000, or I would say, take the coffee with £1,000, leave me? What?
Yeah,
well,
it's different.
Why is it different? We'll hear why.
Well, it actually is a tin of coffee. Yes. It happens to include a chance to win £1,000.
If the raffle was already done, and it wasn't a chance, it was really worth $1,000. He doesn't know. He hadn't opened it yet, but he has already £1,000 present inside the coffee.
So then he can say, in that case, have this tin, but you'll only you have to give back to
me. If he would have said that, we definitely would have no question.
Yes.
The question was a situation where he did not say.
Usually when you give somebody a tin of coffee, give them the coffee, not the goodness that comes with it.
Oh, so you think it should belong to the first fellow? He says it belongs to the second fellow. You say to the first fellow. And you say that your reason, because you're giving him the coffee, you're not giving him... This is a store. There's no question about it. If you bought it from the grocery store, that definitely belongs to the person who bought it, because in a grocery store, they don't plan to own it, to open it. And the whole idea of the promotion is that you get to the general public. But here we're talking about a situation that the fellow who had it would have opened it in his own, and he had no interest in all in making sales. He's not a businessman. He's doing a fellow a friend a favor that he needs coffee. If you were asking for a spoon, you wouldn't even ask him for a bear. I gave him a tin. He says, that's normal relationship. That he gave him a tin, he'll give him back. What do you want to say?
If I were to buy a chicken for Shabbos, if I were to ship the chicken, I could find a diamond worth of it.
100%, there's no question about it. In that situation, it belongs to the person who sold it to you. No, because he sold you a chicken, he didn't sell you a diamond. The only thing is, you can't
get to know that the diamond was in this making when he was.
There's another question. There's another point which has to be brought up. Something which a custom defined, because you don't plan to open it. Because you say by it's never, you know, ruggedly wants it, meaning that by some situation where you're not planning to open it yet. So it could be he himself was not quite there. But you see, that we're talking about a situation that there's a raffle inside is known here, because they announce it on the package that there's a raffle going on. There, a person has no awareness at all that there's a diamond inside. Here I know that there's a chance. I know it's written on the package that there's a raffle. And there it depends if it's something which is not generally open by the person who has it. Then, you see, anything which is in my possession, my chutzner, my yard, is kosher for me. But that's only something which is normally open. If it's something which is not open, normally open, there is, in Shulchan Aruch, it speaks about my situation, if somebody had bought something of lead, and inside the lead there was gold. But since it was something which usually there wasn't opened up, the people who sold it were usually owned it, so they weren't paying it yet. So the last one's kind of, that's something which is not there to open up. So you could think about it, a chicken, by the butcher, you cut it up. It's sometimes, you know, depending on sometimes they cut it up for you, sometimes they don't cut it up for you. If it's something which potentially is ruggle that they open up, then it belongs to the owner. If it's something that it was not ruggle ever to open up, but they wouldn't find it, so then, based on the principle that they were themselves were never coined, then it belongs to the next guy. If we know that they were once kind of, like he put it in there and he forgot it, then for sure it belongs to the person who gave it to you. As long as there was no yield, it was just something else. But when you bring up a point that maybe they themselves were never kind of because it was a mitzvah, then it depends whether it's ruggle to find it or not, ruggle to open it up or not. That was a good point. But going to our situation, going back to our case, the person who gave it to him had no interest in selling coffee or deals. He was doing the liberal a favor, and the fellow who bought it, he was looking for coffee. He wasn't looking for deals either.
In this situation, you have to give back something. The person has to give back something exactly the same condition as what the person. So let's say somebody gives you buy the coffee or wine, which they get a discount.
Yes.
And they then give it to somebody else. That person, that person returns it. The person who originally lends it can't make a profit.
Well, is that so? I mean, if I bought wine at a wholesale, now if I sell it to you, you give me back. See, to borrow it to give back wine for wine is questionable, because that's called ribis saw the saw, paris with paris. Unless you tell them awesome dummy, and you make it for the value price. So the value price in the street is you give it, if you want, you can give them for your wholesale price if you want to, but you have no obligation. If in the street, let's say it costs $5, you have to get it for a discount. If you want, you could sell it to them for the retail price. So normally in the street, the retail price is $5, and you get it back for $5 in that situation. But getting back to our case, I want to explain, the Tosis explains, see, we have a situation, for instance, by Ksuba, that a person writes Tosis Ksuba only a manas if there's going to be a marital relationship, a manas lakonsa. At that time, they used to make heirs at first, and then the suin later. So it says, even though he didn't say anything, only because of this reason, but things which are understood, that that's a condition that a person is doing, only for a certain condition. So that's understood. That's as if he made a specific tenai. As if he made a specific condition, things which are understood. So Tosis asked the question, if anything was understood, that's a person's kavana, is a tenai. So Tosis asked the question, if a person buys an ox from his friend, if the ox was healthy, but before he ever used it, the ox suddenly died, or something fell on the ox, or whatever it was, but he never got to use it at all. So he would understood that he would never have bought something if he would never be able to use it. So let that be an explicit condition without stating it also. That if I never get to use it, then I'm not buying. Why is there no such halacha? I mean, anything that we can perhaps think that came from the past, and for sure the moral soul is responsible. But if it's something new, that it wasn't a problem that there was there before, just now, but if we say anything was explicit in the das of a person, like a manas lakonsa, then for the suin, something was new, which happens later on, and she dies before the suin, something which was something new, so why don't we say the same thing if the animal died before you used it? So it's explicit, okay, I went to buy it, and it should nullify the sale. So Tosis answers that when do we say this principle that anything is explicit, it's as if you made a condition, is only something where the other side would definitely agree. The Mishnah Melech explains, if the other side would definitely agree, then anything was explicit, even if I did not state it as a tenai, then it's as if it's stated. So, in other words, if there's something, in a business deal, when I sell you the ox, for sure, okay, I would have said, if I would have known it would have died later on, before I used it, I would have bought it. But not necessarily the wayfarer, the one who sold it, would have accepted part of the self-responsibility. He says, I accept responsibility of what happened up to the actual minute of the sale. Something new which happens beyond that. If you want responsibility for a brother's mind, you have to discuss with me. Maybe I'm willing, maybe I'm not. Maybe I want a greater price for that. So anything which is questionable, even if it's definite, that one side would have definitely wanted it, but if it would have brought up the issue, perhaps the other side would have had a different opinion, then you have to state it. Then, even if it's clear that that's the opinion of one side, that is not kaveya. But anything that if one side would have brought up, the other side would have definitely agreed, even if you did not state it, if it's clear that that's what a person wants, it's as if he made a condition. Like a manas lakonsa, the taste of ksuba is a manas lakonsa. We don't understand why necessarily the woman would have been masking, but al kofanim, the principle is, the Mishnah Melech says, that anything that's clear that this is the idea of one side of giving or selling under some condition, and if he would have brought it up, the other side would have agreed, and you don't have to state the condition. That's as if you stated it. So if so, in our situation, if the person who sold, if he would have known that he has something which is already worth £1,000 inside, would he have said, I'm giving you the coffee, but I'm not giving you the coupon which is presently worth £1,000? Would he have said so if he knew? No question about it. You know, I should give away £1,000 for free. On the other hand, the fellow who came to him 11 o'clock at night, what, was he looking for coupons? Was he looking for bonuses? Or he wanted a cup of coffee? He was thirsty. He wanted a cup of coffee. So if the person would have told him, would have brought up an issue, coffee you could take, but I'm not giving you bonuses, he definitely would have agreed. So based upon this principle of the Tosis and the Mishnah Melech, that anything that was definite, that that's what one side wants, and it's implicit, as is evidently stated in the situation, that if he would have brought it up, definitely the other side would have agreed, but that's as if he made it a deny. So on this, therefore, it belongs to the first party, the person who gave it to him, and the fellow who has it has to give it back to him.
So I think it's the same principle. If the person coming at 11 o'clock would have said to him, I want both the copy and the coupon.
If you were to say, whatever you say, that what you say explicitly, that no, there's no questions.
No, using the same theory that you...
Well, maybe he said so.
No, on the same theory that had he have said it...
So maybe the other fellow would not have agreed, you don't know. You don't know, maybe I want the chance, you don't need that. You're thirsty. But it's not necessary. Perhaps the rest of thinking you don't need. I'm not a seller. I have no interest in selling. It could possibly be. We don't have an umdenazibo belief called on. But I definitely would have agreed. That was, you knew you were asking for a favor. A spoon of coffee could give you a dinner. I'm not interested in sales. It could be it doesn't make a difference to me, but it's not certain. It could be I buy the coffee because I like, and there are several brands. It could be I buy it because I want that possibility of winning too. So maybe, it's not necessary, but it's not a libo belief kolonim. Umdana means that the Nora can consider as if you stated it, it has to be something that's clear that no one will have any doubt about. So here's definitely something that can be looked upon two ways. Maybe this I want, maybe that I want. The only need is I'm a friend of yours, a favor, you have a specific need. You're thirsty in the middle of the night. So I'm taking care of your specific need. Beyond that, it's questionable whether I give it away, whether I don't give it away, whether I have an interest in it. Maybe I think maybe I'll win. Why, that's something which is room for discussion. So if there's room for discussion, that's not called umdana. Like if I could take a question, it's even Rishon, that he says, a self-hate when it's an umdana is not an umdana at all. Because umdana means that libo v'leif kol adam. Means everybody understands clearly this is what it is. Only in such a situation, you don't have to stay. That has a deal like a cloud.
What could happen if after having borrowed the tin of coffee, he goes back to his company, finds another tin, exactly, just happens to find it in the city to find something. And then
who found
the borrower? Yes. Finds in his own house.
The shire, the one who was given the coffee.
The one who was given the coffee.
Yes.
But he gets back to his house, he says, the iron's going to be worth packets. He found another tin, same manufacturer, the same offer.
Yes.
And then he gets distracted. By the time he opens the tin, he's not sure which one he opened.
Oh. And now it's just not sure which one he is. He's a Moses. It's a suffering. If there's a suffix and he's a muzik, so then the mitzvah real maraya. You don't know which one is. He's the muzik. So mitzvah real maraya. So then if you don't know, then he doesn't have to give it because the mitzvah real maraya. We're not sure which one. It's like if I have two objects and in my home, and one is mine, and one is yours. Now, and even if there's a difference, but we're not sure which one. That's a halacha that says if you bought something from someone, and even if you didn't specify which one, then yada lokeach halatachtoina, because the mayor can give which one, can choose which one. Debris, you have to come out to it, but it's the same principle. The principle in din is that if there's a suffix, we have the same thing of bechayrus. The two oxen were born, and something happens to one of them, and one belongs to the Kohen, and one belongs to the Balabayas, and one of them dies, then you're part of them giving anything, because based on the same principle, since there's a doubt which one, and I'm the Muzik, so therefore, that's a Gemara of Papyrus, so the Allah is a Mesim Rechabin. That's a very interesting point. Somebody asked me a different question. What will be that if in this situation, when you give it to him 11 o'clock at night, and we're saying that if the first guy, if the second guy found the coupon, the winning coupon, then he has to give it back to the fellow because he said you only borrowed a coffee, you didn't borrow a coupon. What happens is the opposite. The fellow who gave him something that didn't win. The fellow has a cause. It was a normal coupon, as most, the great majority have. But it wasn't the winning number. But the fellow who gave him back the coffee, he gave him a coupon, and there was the
winning number. So does he have to give it back to the person who was repaid? Who was repaid? But just the opposite. In the opposite situation, that I gave him something I didn't win, and he gave me what I got back. What's the deal? What do you think about that? In that case, who does that belong to? Does it belong to the person who was repaying? In other words, the person originally borrowed, or does it belong to the person who received it now? The one who got back repaid. What do you think about that situation? You want to say something?
No, I was just thinking. Since when he say that since the person who received it now, when he meant it, he didn't explicitly say, if you have the win, keep coupons with that. The same here, the second person who now is giving him back one, because he borrowed it, and he's giving him back and he has given one, he also didn't explicitly say.
Yeah, so is that a reason that she belonged to? What is your conclusion? To whom should it belong to?
Should probably go back to the person who...
But not saying is not a reason to belong to them. There has to be... We had to have a special reason. Like we said, Libo Lev Kolodam or something. What do you want to say? Something else to say about this case? What do you want to say?
The basis of when he took the first copy, he also took with it the opportunity to open that chance. He was saying that every time that he has that chance, he'd say, I've had your apple, so you can have my apple. Not to say I'm taking your apple, but I'm not going to give you mine. That would mean a whole other...
But based on that logic here, it's just the opposite. Because in this situation, we said when you buy from a store, so they have they give you everything included. That's the whole deal, and they have no interest in opening up in a store. But we're saying when you took from the private person at 11 o'clock at night, he's giving you the coffee, but not the opportunity of winning. Meaning that if the coupon loses, you can keep it because it's worthless. If it wins, then it belongs to me. So therefore it means that I'm not giving you the opportunity to win. If at 11 o'clock at night, that means that I'm giving you only the coffee, but not the opportunity to win. So it's as if I gave you the coffee without the coupon. So in that situation, that you have no chance of winning at all. So therefore, the fellow who gives it back is only obligated to give coffee, not a coupon. Because based on the logic in this specific instance, the fellow who gave it, he's saying you have no chance of winning, because if it wins, it belongs to me. So what is the whole value of this coupon? The whole value of the coupon is only the potential that you may win. It's like a raffle that happened yesterday. The apparatus is not worth the paper it's printed on. So if so, the fellow who's giving him back in this situation is only obligated to give the coffee and not the coupon. So for sure, it belongs to the fellow who gave it to the repayer, not the one who got it, but to the fellow who was actually his to start with. It's based on the same logic. The only idea that you have to repay is you have to repay what you are given. So what is a coupon? A coupon is a chance to win. So if the fellow at 11 o'clock at night was giving you only the coffee and not the chance to win, so you have to give him back a plain coffee, not a chance to win, because he didn't give you any chance to win. Because if you win, you lose, because it belongs to him. So therefore, the fellow giving it back has to give only the coffee and not the coupon.
Isn't there a mockery in the chalik between both the cases and the right from Ksuvus? In the case of Ksuvus, there, one has, over there, the understanding is that what both sides would have agreed to in the first place,
yes,
that's something that even if it wasn't spelled out,
yes,
but it's implicit.
Okay.
It's implicit agreement. Over here, when the person gives the 11 o'clock at night,
yes,
the donor gives the coffee.
Not a donor, he's a friend. Okay.
Yeah, but he gave the coffee. Yeah. See, he didn't say to him, help yourself to some coffee and bring back the jar, bring back the
jar. Yeah, he didn't say anything either, so he didn't say anything either.
No, yeah, but instead over here, what the understanding of this is, that everybody, in most packets and the boxes and containers that you buy, there's some...
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think about that. I think about your name. So umdina means, yeah, not what I thought, but what I would have thought if I thought about a situation. That's what umdina means.
So I'm asking, if there may be an umdina, if I give a tin of coffee with a tiny bit left,
and I don't ask for the tin back.
That's an analogy, because those are things which people are not marked for. Here, a raffle is a different commodity. It's two different things. What goes into a coffee, and then exactly, if this was 10 ounces, and this is 10 and a quarter, then the decimal, but that doesn't make a difference. But if there's a different commodity which already has a value now of £1,000, so that definitely a person would not have given that. There's no reason why I should give him £1,000 because he's thirsty at night.
Why didn't he ask to give the tin?
Because I didn't think about it. Because those things, I think about everything that goes on now. I don't realize all possibilities. But only that means what I would have thought if I would have thought what I would have done if I'd known about it.
So it's a clip between whether the coupon has already been declared the winning coupon that I don't know that that's the winning coupon. And between a case where the draw hasn't been yet?
There you could think about, but also not. Why should I may have no interest in giving away things which are not which are not your need. But that's an ungulate colour.
If the draw
was one,
then
could
you throw it away.
Yeah, could be. Then in that situation you could say that it's not an ungulate colour. If the draw already was, or it could be there's a different thing also. You see, many times it's not even there. Many times it's, they already have the number by them, the winning number. They already have that. They're just waiting for the person to find it. The person who reveals it. It's not even a drawing which is going to come later. But many times the company has it. And they're just waiting for the person to ever get the lucky box. So that definitely could be a difference between those circumstances. It's a leave a live colonomy if it's already worn. If it's just been conventional, which is far fetched, then there's no leave a live colonomy. In economics, that's a definite small. The difference between something which already worn and just a potential of okay, this was one case. What? What? The coffee, yes, you're right. 100%. Okay, shall you go further? Something in another case. In Aloha, if you're selling something, if it's a property or if it's a commodity, the difference is Minotaurus, what the Rav spoke about that he said in such Shabbos Agado, and what the Kenyan is, if sometimes the Kenyan is with Kesav, or for Meshicha, if it's a Jew or a non-Jew. But we're talking about now and even when the din is that you're kind of a mshicha, like from a talklin, but if you already paid kesef, then there's halacha that it's forbidden. If you have charata, then you can't legally in court, you can't take away from you. But that's called a curse of mishapara and midora mabo as an iser to have charata.
Can you translate it a bit more, please?
Yes, 100%. Whatever is not clear, I'm very bad translating. It's forbidden to renegade, and if the law is that you only acquire a commodity through picking it up, from actually transferring it literally, not only by paying money, but by actually picking it up, then nevertheless, if money was paid, it's forbidden to renegade. On the deal. That's called the curse in the Gemara. Mishapara, whoever paid for the generations of the Mabul, will never pay for the person who renegades on his word. Al Kapanim, that's called Mishapara in the Gemara. Today, perhaps.
Isn't it the same as saying if someone borrows, like from Piggy Obbers, it's the same as stealing from the Almighty?
Oh, that's not that. Stealing is once the action has taken place. Once the transaction has actually taken place. Mishapura means that even though according to the letter of the law, you were not actually acquired yet, but still in all, it's forbidden to renegade on the deal that you've made in that circumstance. There's another madrega which is less than that. That's called somebody who gave his word. A nice of a nice in bedvachim. There are three madrigals, the actual Kenyan. And today, by the way, many times, even with commodities, could be you wouldn't need Mashiach, because there's Situmta, Minagamdina, that I could make it a Kenyan, if that's the custom of the land with money itself. Or that's another question. You know, I go into everything in one moment and what circumstances. But there's another madriga that even if it says the money itself was not the actual Kenyan, but it's forbidden to back down. It's forbidden. If he does it, the court then touches. But it's forbidden. There's a third madriga of a nicer venison bizvog, meaning that you gave your word. There was no actual Kenyan at all done, but your word was given. So there it's also forbidden. There is no curse to bear down. But ein ruach chachamim noichayanu. Chachamim are not happy when a person who backs down once he gives his word and then he stops. And these halachas apply whether you're dealing with a Jew or with a non-Jew. It's the same principles that there's a mishapara, that if there was some, you made it, you went through a deal and you don't fulfill it, or you gave your word, you're obligated to do it. Makes no difference who you're dealing with. You're supposed to be fair and honest. But there's a question in the Shemalot: what happens if there was a different price range? For instance, when I made up with you, I'm going to sell you this for 50 pounds, let's say. Then, before we actually consummated a deal with Kenyan, it went up to 75 pounds. So are you obligated to keep your word in that situation? A person could say, I only said I'm giving to you at that price, when the price was that way. Now that the price went up, it's called Shnei Tarim, two Sholim, two different price ranges, then I would have never said. So there's a machlokus in this between the Machaber and the Ramah, between Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. The Ramah says if there are two different Sholim, the price went up to a different range, then the law is that you're not even considered violating your word. Because I did not specifically say if it's going to be on the which shire. I only was speaking about it at the point of today, according to the present conditions. The Machaber doesn't make any difference, though. So this I was asked by a Kehillah in Mexico, so they were Spartan. So they passed like the Machaber, like a race of cattle. And according to the Machaber, the halacha is that even if there are two Sha'arim, even if the price goes up, it's still forbidden to relegate on your word, even if there was no actual Kenyan. But I asked them, are there other, to understand better the situation, I asked them, what would have been if the situation was just the opposite, and there was a word given between you and the potential buyer, and the price now on the street went down 50%, it fell 50%, would the other side have gone through with the deal? So the entire audience told me, no, absolutely. There's no question about it that if the price fell 50% from the time we spoke, until anything was done, that they would definitely have not paid, and they would look for a different deal. So then I told them, yes.
What about a situation where in some countries there's very high inflation, yeah, or deflation?
But this deal was
the price on day one is 50,000, but by
the common business practice, I would presume, in that situation is they make up, that depends according to the price when you pay. Or they make up you specifically that you have to pay by today or a certain hour. But otherwise, they'll go out of business.
There was a case like this in Yerushalayim about 30, 40 years ago. That was a cloth merchant agreed a price with a purchaser, and there was a devaluation that day by 50% or something like this. And the next morning, perhaps the demanders to pay the same price in shekel, which was agreed. Was it Bintero about this? Yeah, sure.
So in this situation, where it's definite that the person, the other side, would not keep the contract if it went down 50%. So if so, a contract, we're talking about just a word, and the word was given to each side without speaking about any specific instance. So we have to determine, was it meant only under the present conditions, or was it meant even if there'll be a change in prices? So a non-written contract, verbal, which all other conditions are just implicit, depend on common sense and under what circumstances they apply or do not apply. So it has to be fair to both sides. If one side can back out, we're definitely going to, it's planning to back out if there's a change of price. So then therefore, hey, it can't be that I'm bound, that I have to give in if the price goes up, and he can back out if the price goes down. If we didn't speak anything about it, so it has to be equal on both sides. So since it's, they all tell me that it's definite that the one who was buying in that circumstance would definitely not have taken it as a contract if the price goes down, so it's as if they gave their word to this price only in the situation where the price is presently the same. So therefore, there, even according to the Mechaber, in this situation there's no problem of going against your word, because it's as if your word was meant only in this specific instance as it is now, where the price is presently the same.
For all those depends on the common commercial practice, and obviously there is no single common commercial practice. It depends on the commodities and the service.
Well, it depends on the people you're dealing with, and the industry, and depends how the nature is of that country.
So when all says himself has to be fair on both sides, there are many industries in which that isn't necessarily true.
If there's a minhag, if there's a custom, but where there is no specific custom, then that's the logic. Unless it's a commodity that the one person is very interested in, and the other person is interested in selling. But under normal circumstances, where it's not that way, then if it's good for both, it's not a Zvina Charitha or a Zvina the Roma Alepe, then this is the logic which should be under normal circumstances. That's what Paskin then is. One more case. Shadchanis in England, where do they give for shadchanis? A lot of money here, a little money? 750 pounds? Some people tell me shadchanis in England is not there yet. For free? What?
Shadchanis, isn't it?
I'm asking you.
500 each side.
Do they pay it in England? Because somebody told me that in England the practice is not to pay. What?
Yes, you've got to pay.
Depends.
Yeah, you've got to pay.
Why, in any case situation. But at any rate.
You've
got to
pay.
At any rate.
There was an
interesting case. I won't speak about Chuck Funnies, but I'll speak about a different case. There was a case that a landlord wanted to paint the hall. You know, it's his property. He wants it to look nice. He wants to paint. It's his right to paint. But one of the tenants was like a difficult person. He doesn't want it to paint. No, he'll disturb him a couple of days. He's painting in the halls. Says he's going to stop him from painting. I'm going to stop him from painting. So the guy place is a very difficult person, the tenant. So he made a big yudke vovke in the hall of a couple feet, and the shame of Hashem. So there's a halacha, he's not allowed to be moichet, he's not allowed to erase shame of Hashem. He made in the hall of the wall a big yudke vovke, a couple feet wide, so long. So they can't debase this. Well, the question is not definitely that the man is wrong. There's no question about it. The question is, what should be done now? Is it an Isser of Chikis Hashem? Is it to
to erase. So what should be done? What could be done? So any suggestions?
Can you change some of the
methods
by adding on?
No, that's considered also. That's considered mechikas Hashem. Right?
I know.
Why don't you? You?
By covering it with some wall paint.
Yeah, but that's a possibility. Yeah. That would be a possibility, but it has to be only if the boy had it. And he's interested in having wallpaper on the wall.
But it's not mechika, that's
what I'm saying. No, covering it is not mechika. If it's something which can be taken off, if it doesn't destroy underneath, it can be taken off, and then that's not mechika. But that would depend if the fellow there. You see, even if we would obligate the fellow who did the damage to make the wallpaper, but then the moyer will say, whatever you're going to do, in 2 years the wallpaper wears out. So every year I'm going to put wallpaper on the walls and then on the entire building.
Cut out the plaster underneath.
This is what the Beis Din says. They have to chisel out the wall and keep the letters intact and bury him and pay for the expense. The fellow who did it. He was definitely wrong. At his expense. But what we done was they had to chisel out the thing, bury the letters, and fix the wall. Yes, you're coming up.